the first Sunday of Advent. Now, youth group, you guys know this last night, but Advent means the coming of. And then we know that it is the coming of Christ that we will be remembering and celebrating. And it's a season in which we will prepare ourselves, in the coming of our Lord Jesus. And as Christians, we all need the season of Advent to slow us down. It seems to me that the pace of life tends to kind of get a little bit faster as we approach the holiday season. You guys probably went to Black Friday shopping. You know, you guys saw the frenziness, you know, of what's happening and all that. Actually, who went? You know, who went? Can I just see a show of hand? Okay. Who stayed home and did some online shopping? All right, that's smart. Yeah, but still, you know, I think, you know, during the season, we just tend to rush around trying to buy the perfect gifts, throw the best party, prepare our home, you know, for holiday gatherings. We try to catch the newest movies out there, Harry Potter. Who's seen that? All right, you know, Harry Potter. What other good movies are out there? Oh, you guys can check. But, you know, it's just really crazy during this time of the season. Or we try the best we can to write the Christmas cards to our friends and families. And it's so easy to get sucked in into the craziness of the season that we forget the crazy love God has for us in the birth of Christ. And that's the reason why we need Advent. We're invited to reflect and to focus on the most important thing of all, the birth of Jesus. Now, Advent also acts as a symbol of our new life in Jesus, and that will be our focus for today. So if you can open your bulletin, you will see that the sermon today is entitled New Life in Christ. And I'll be using different passages to help us to see that, but as always, let us always begin with the word of prayer. And can I ask the sound team just to turn me down just a little bit, okay? Just a little bit echoey, okay? So let us begin to pray. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you for the season of Advent. Thank you for the candles that remind us of who you are and why we're here. Thank you for the season so that we can wait and reflect upon the most important thing of all, the birth of our Lord and Savior. And keep us focused on you as we enter into the holiday season. And we pray that you'll give us a good balance so that we won't be swept away by the materialism and the busyness of the world. And also, Father, we want to pray for what's happening around us, what's happening in the world right now. We want to pray that you will continue to shower your peace, even in the most unpeaceful places in the world. We pray for the situation in Korea. We pray for the economic crisis, both within the nation and Europe. We pray that somehow you will still help us to have a holiday in which we can, you know, be safe and be peaceful. And now as we enter to listen to your words, we ask that you will give us attentive ears to hear and to appreciate what Christmas is truly about. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So, new life in Christ. What does this new life look like? And I like to focus today on three aspects of this new life. As you can see inside your bulletin, I laid it out for you guys. And here's the first thing. In the context of Advent and Christmas, we can truly know what God is like. That is the very first thing that we will see. In other words, the birth of Jesus gave us a living picture of who God is. Now, let us read together how Paul described Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 to 16. Let us read that together. You guys will see the passage inside your bulletin. Starting from verse 15. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. So in other words, Paul was saying that Jesus Christ is the exact representation of the Father. In fact, he himself claimed that he's in the Father and the Father is in him. Let us read the next passage in John 14 from verse 7 to verse 10. Jesus said, if you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus answered, don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? You see, God came to earth wrapped in a human body. He came to live among us so that we might know him. He came down to teach us and to die for us so that we may be forgiven. He rose from the dead so that we who follow Him will know that death is no longer the last word. And come on, I mean, we all know this, don't we? I mean, if we have been Christians for a long time, we should know all these. But really, think about it. I want you guys to think about this right now. What would the world look like or be like if Jesus had not come? What would the world be like if Jesus did not come? Well, for one thing, schools like Harvard or Yale would not exist because they were established as Christian institutions for higher learning. Or hospitals like Providence or Swedish, they would not be there. Why? Because they were started by people who had hearts full of compassion for the sick, grew from their hearts for Jesus Christ. Our way of dating history will be completely different. Because our current dating history is dated for the things that occurred before Jesus and after Jesus, right? And many of the colleges and universities, you know, in this area, like I think UW is like that. They would not exist, again, for the same reason. They were started out with Christian ideals. What about YMCA? Who goes to YMCA here? I used to go sometimes. It wouldn't be there if Jesus did not come. This thing would shrink in half if Jesus was not here. There would be no Christmas. We wouldn't be seeing, you know, joyful to the world. We wouldn't be seeing Christmas carols. If Jesus did not come, the world we live in would be a world without Christmas. I mean, think about that. And you know what else would happen if Jesus was never born? Biblical characters like Mary Magdalene would have died in her sin. Matthew the tax collector, he would have still been a traitor to the Jews. Peter, James, and John, they would have done nothing more than to fish for a living. What about the Apostle Paul? If Jesus did not come, he would still be a strict and legalistic Pharisee who demanded perfection from people. The people needed healing during the time of Christ. They would still live and die with broken bodies and spirits. The lame would still be lame. The blind would still remain in darkness. And the deaf would still live in silence. Without Jesus, we would never hear words like, "Peace I give you. This peace I give you. Do not be afraid." We would never hear words like that. If Jesus did not come, we would never hear words like, "I have come so that you may have life and have it to the fullest." Without Jesus, all of us will still be living in darkness, in fear, and in guilt. So that's why we sing about Emmanuel in Christmas, right? What is Emmanuel? It means God with us. He was with us 2,000 years ago, and He is with us now, showing us what God is truly like. And because of Jesus, we now see that this God is not distant. This God is not unapproachable, but He cares and He loves and He wants to be like one of us so that He can show us what God is truly like. Because of Jesus, we know that God is not someone who is cruel. He's not someone who is unforgiving, but He's a God who loves and who cares and who is a friend of sinners who show compassion for the lost. Jesus came to show us who God is truly like. He taught us not to use the values of the world to judge people, to judge ourselves. He taught us not to be judged by the appearance, but by what's inside the heart. For God values each of us. Now, this reminds me, because I have a friend who loves to go and shop at thrift stores, you know, secondhand used stores. And then this friend of mine, he has an uncanny eye for items that are very, very cheap. And then he will buy them at a very low price. And guess what? He will sell them for profit online. Well, God is like that. He goes out about taking people who are not very valuable in the world standards, and He places them on a very high value. And how do we know that? Because we see that Jesus was living such a life. He was doing this day in and day out. You know, He has an eye for the outcast of the society, for the sinful, for the sick, for the poor, and for the weak. And somehow He will pull them out of the dumpster, and then He will transform them into something that's treasures. If Jesus had not come, we would never know that God is like that. We would think that God is someone who's distant, someone who's unapproachable, someone who is unforgiving, and someone who's cruel. So that's the first thing that we see. Here comes the second thing that we see. with the coming of Jesus Christ. And that is, our sins can be forgiven. Our sins can be forgiven. Now, think for a moment with me. The worst thing that you have ever done in your life. The worst thing that you have ever done. Or the worst thought that you have ever had in your mind. I mean, think about that for a moment. I want you to think about the thing that makes your brain burns with shame. Or makes your heart pound with disgust. I mean, what's that thing? And then think about what it would be like if Jesus had not come and then you could not be forgiven of whatever you did. I mean, what does that look like to you? If Jesus had not come, our guilt would never be lifted. If he had not come, you know, there would be no talk of forgiveness or reconciliation, but only laws to be obeyed and rules to follow. If Jesus had not come, words like grace would have no meaning for us. And we only talk about justice. We only talk about what people are deserved, you know, what people should deserve. But the thing is, Jesus did come, and forgiveness was given to those people who follow and believe in him. And you guys know, like, this forgiveness is not cheap. It cost his whole life. And that's what Jesus did when he came here. Now, I read a story recently that illustrates this truth. It was a story about a man by the name of Max Welsch, who was staying at a mountain lodge in the Austrian Alps in Austria. And he left the lodge one morning to go for a hike. The weather seemed fine at first, but you know how in the high altitudes, you know, weather can change just like that. So all of a sudden, he found himself in the midst of a severe snowstorm. While losing all sense of direction, you know, plus a quick drop in the temperature, Max, he fainted and collapsed on the way back. The owner of the lodge, knowing that the man had no doubt lost his way, he sent his best search dog to look for him. It was a beautiful blue mountain shepherd. So following his God-created senses, the dog quickly found Max, you know, lying there, semi-consciously. So the dog grabbed and pulled the sleeve of the man, of the man's frozen jacket. And as the dog was trying to pull him, Max, he regained his consciousness. He saw the dog, but then he mistook the dog for a wolf. So he was fearing for his life. So he pulled out his hunting knife, and then he just stabbed the dog on the spot. Now, the dog was badly wounded. So he let go of Max, went back to, you know, to the owner's place, and fell dead right before him. The owner knew right away what had happened, so he went out to look for Max. And then he just simply, you know, followed through the trail of the blood, and then he finally found him, still lying there, semi-consciously. But the owner was able to carry him back all the way back to the lodge so that he was, you know, he was saved. Now, Max's life was saved because a faithful dog obeyed his master's command, literally shedding the blood for him. And, you know, sometimes a story like that, you know, we could get so emotional and get so caught up by the death of that faithful dog, that we forget that this is exactly what happened with our Lord Jesus. He shed his life for us, so that we may be forgiven, so that we may have life once and for all. And because of who Jesus is, and because what he has done, our sins can be forgiven. So that's the second thing that we see in the coming of Jesus. Here comes the third blessing, or the third thing that we see in the coming of Jesus. And that is, we have the hope of heaven. We have the hope of heaven. You see, heaven was made possible only by Jesus. For he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. If Jesus had never been born, heaven would make no sense for us. I mean, just imagine with me, again, what would the world look like if Jesus was not here and then there was no hope for heaven? Just think about that. You know, this past year, I had the chance to go to many different funerals. And even though it's really, really sad to see people saying goodbye to their loved ones, somehow each funeral that I attended was filled with hope. But think about, what would you say at the funeral, you know, of the family if there was no hope, if Jesus did not come? There would be no hope beyond the grave. I mean, you could not talk about heaven, because it would be an insult to them. The Bible says, if Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19, where it says, "And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, then what do you say? We're more to be pitied than anyone in the world." You see, our hope in Jesus is in this life, but also in the life after. If Jesus had not come, there would be no book of Revelation. There would be no promise of a returning Savior who will overcome the world and open the heaven for us. If Jesus had not come, there would be no hope for hearing the words of, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." There will be nothing to anticipate except the coldness of the casket and the grave. But because Jesus came, everything's changed. And we all live in a joyful anticipation of what is yet to come. And you guys know what I'm talking about. Some of you guys went shopping on Black Friday, and then you guys bought those things and you guys put it under the Christmas tree, but you can't open it. You can't touch it because it's not there yet, right? But you know that feeling? It's yours. When I first came to this church 3.5 years ago, some of you guys, gave me an unexpected gift. Some of you collectively chipped in and bought me a Nintendo Wii. You guys remember that? You guys bought me a Nintendo Wii. And then when I received that, I was like, "Oh my God, what kind of church is this? That's awesome." I was so excited. It was like ecstatic for me. And I remember calling Esther on the phone, "Hon, guess what? The church gave us a Wii." And then you could hear the scream on the other end of the phone. And mind you, I was traveling between Canada and the U.S. at the time because of some complications with our visa issues. So as I was on my way back to Vancouver, I had that Wii, an open Wii box, put it on the passenger side. And then while I was waiting for the border, the traffic kind of slowed down. I was touching the box, I was feeling it. I was holding up to the front. I was like, "Wow, this is so cool, right?" And then I was looking at the descriptions. I was imagining in my head, holding the Wii remote ready to play like Wii Sports and all that. But the point is, I was already enjoying the pleasures of an event that has yet to happen, but will for sure happen. Because I know that when I get back, to my apartment in Vancouver, the first thing I'll do is I'll pull out the Wii, plug it into the TV, and have a bowling match with Esther. It was a gift. I knew how much fun it would be, but I would not really enjoy it until I get home. And only then will I see it with my own eyes and experience with my own body what before I had only imagined in my head. Now, this is the same way with Christmas. Christ has given us a gift in heaven. It's still wrapped, but it has our name on it. It is ours, and we wait expectantly for it. But while we're still on this side of the heaven, we have to wait. We have to wait. But one day we will enjoy that gift that God has promised us. Look at 2 Peter verse 3 to 13 with me, where it says, "But in keeping with his promise, we're looking forward to a new heaven." You guys hear that? New heaven and a new earth, the home of righteousness. The day will come when we hear the words of, "Now the dwelling of God is with man, and he will live with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God." I mean, that's a word of promise. "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." I mean, there's no comforting words than that we can hear. That is awesome. And because of Jesus, we have the hope of heaven. Jesus says, "I have come to give you life, to give you everything, so that you may live life abundantly." You guys hear that? He's saying, "I have come so that you can have everything." Many years ago, there was a very wealthy man who shared a passion for art collecting. Now, his wife passed away a long time ago, but he had a son who also shared the same passion for collecting art from his father. So both the son and father, they love collecting art. So together they travel around the world, adding only the finest art treasures to their collection. So over the years, they collected priceless works like, you know, from Picasso. In fact, Picasso is still like, you know, a Seattle museum right now. You know, you can go and see that. So they collected, you know, art from Picasso, from Van Gogh, you know, from Monet, and all these other fine and popular and famous artists and painters. And the father also was so proud of his son because his son had become a really, really good art collector himself. But one day, war engulfed the nation that they lived in. And the young man left to serve his country. Only within a couple of short weeks, his father received a telegram saying that his son was killed in battle while carrying a fellow soldier to the medic. On Christmas morning, a knock came at the door of that old man's house. And as he opened the door, he was greeted by a soldier with a large package in his hand. The pale-looking soldier introduced himself to the old man by saying, "I was a friend of your son. In fact, I was one that he was rescuing when he died. Am I coming for a moment? I have something to show you." "I'm an artist," said the soldier, "and I want to give you this." So as the old man unwrapped the package, in it was a portrait of his son. The portrait was filled with such great details of his son. You know, it was filled, it almost captured, you know, the essence, you know, of that young man's life. It was very, very vivid. The following spring, the old man became ill, and he died. And according to his will, all of the artworks will be auctioned off, will be sold. Now, you guys can probably imagine that, you know, this was great news for a lot of the art collectors around the world. So on the auction day, collectors, they gather at the old man's house, ready to bid on some of the finest works ever existed in the art world. The auction began with a painting that was not on the list. It was a painting of his son. Now the auctioneer, you know, the guy who, you know, is like the person, you know, with the gavel, the auctioneer, he asked for an opening bid. And guess what? The room was silent. And then later, someone said, "Who cares about that painting? We're here for you know, who cares about this, you know, the painting of the sun? Let's forget about that. Let's move on to the real stuff. That's what we're here for, man." But the auctioneer opened and said, "Who will open the bidding with $100 for this painting?" And nobody said anything. Someone yelled, "It's just a picture. Let's move on to the real stuff." And there were a lot of different voices in our room that really were saying the same thing. But the auctioneer replied, "No, we have to sell this one first. Who will open the bidding?" So some minutes passed. Finally, an old man in the back, who was a friend of the old man who passed away, he said, "I knew that boy when I was growing up. I will buy it. I will bid for $100. "I have a bid for $100," called the auctioneer. "Will anyone go any higher?" Well, after a long time, nobody said anything. So he said, "Going once, going twice, gone." And then the gavel fell, you know, onto the table. You could hear the cheers in the room. It's like, "All right, let's move on to the real stuff now, right?" But at that moment, the auctioneer looked at the audience and he said, "The auction is now over." "What? What do you mean it's over? We came all the way from around the world so that we can buy some of his finest collectors, you know, collecting like, you know, arts. You got to, you know, what do you mean it's over?" The auctioneer replied, "Well, it's very simple. According to the will of the Father, whoever takes the son gets it all. Whoever takes the son gets it all." In one way, that is what the Christian faith is all about. That is the essence of Christmas. Whoever takes the Son of God, whoever believes in him, whoever committed to follow him, not just momentarily, but all the way to the end, gets it all. You guys hear that? 1 John 5:11 to 12, we hear these words. "God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has what? Has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have anything." If you don't have life, you don't have anything. And this life is here and beyond. Whoever takes the Son gets it all. The one who has the Son the one who obeys him, the one who believes in him, the one who follows his commands and carries the cross all the way to the end, gets everything. Brothers and sisters, as we enter into the season of Advent, let us reflect. Let us think about what it means for us as Jesus was born 2,000 years ago. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for the gift of your Son. And we know that words cannot describe the reality of what happened 2,000 years ago. I mean, we can talk so much, we can hear so many sermons, we can read so many books about this, but they still cannot capture everything about what you have done for us. But still, we want to come and worship. We want to reflect and focus on this ultimate gift that you have given to us. So Lord, as we enter into the season of Christmas, help us to remember why and what Christmas is about. As we go through the next 4 weeks, let us not forget that we are here only because you have given us that privilege and gift. So we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.